Tonight, tens of thousands plunged into darkness after what police call an act of intentional vandalism here in the U.S. and the new storm system that will impact millions coast to coast. First up, those mass power outages in North Carolina County. A curfew is imposed and a state of emergency declared, with hospital, water, and sewer services affected after electrical substations were hit by gunfire. What authorities are saying about a possible motive and why it could be days until service is restored. Also tonight, the cross-country storm threat. Snow in the west, including avalanche watches in Colorado, and possible flooding further east. Rob Marciano times it out for us. High stakes run off the final sprint before Tuesday's Senate face-off in Georgia. With a record number of early votes already cast, can the Democrats keep the seat and add to their majority? The shocking crime in Texas. Contracted FedEx driver charged with kidnapping and murdering a 7-year-old little girl. What we're learning tonight about the 31-year-old suspect who police say has confessed. Hospitals sound the alarm over a big jump in flu patients, the highest level for this time of year in more than a decade, and more elderly Americans are being admitted for COVID. Despite growing protests, Iran state media now denies reports that it's shutting down its morality police, which enforces the strict Islamic dress code. But Iran's attorney general says the nation's headscarf law is under review. New developments in the horrific quadruple murder at the University of Idaho. Two roommates who survived now speak out, remembering their friends and what they wish they could say to them. Soccer fans keep vigil for the legendary Pelé as he battles cancer. And here it is, America's new top secret stealth bomber.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We begin with that developing story in North Carolina, where a state of emergency has been declared and a curfew is now in place after vandals opened fire on several electrical substations, knocking out power to tens of thousands of customers in targeted attacks, causing millions in damage. Officials say evidence of sabotage was found at multiple substations. At one location, a locked gate was found on the ground. It could be days until the power is restored because of the extent of the damage. Tonight, the sheriff says his deputies are absolutely looking into whether the sabotage is connected to a drag show in Moore County Saturday night. In the weeks since the Club Q massacre in Colorado, there have been repeated calls for violence against the LGBTQ community. ABC senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky leads us off.
Tonight, authorities in North Carolina are searching for whoever opened fire on two electrical substations, knocking out power to tens of thousands of people.
This individual that done this, it was targeting. It wasn't random.
45,000 customers suddenly lost power Saturday night, nearly all of Moore County. Police calling it criminal, the result of intentional vandalism.
This is a very challenging time. We understand that it is December, the nights get cold, and being without power is very challenging at times.
The sheriff tonight saying his deputies are absolutely looking into whether the sabotage is connected to a drag show Saturday night in Moore County. In the week since the shooting rampage at Club Q in Colorado Springs, the internet has filled with praise for the shooter and calls for additional violence. In Columbus, Ohio, a school canceled this weekend's Drag Queen Story Hour amid threats of protests from the Proud Boys. And in Maryville, Tennessee, neo-Nazi groups targeted a holiday toy drive that featured drag performers. The drag show in Moore County went on even after the lights went out. On Twitter, one of the organizers wrote, "The queer lights will always shine brighter than hate."
Whenever we band together and we come together, we are stronger than any sort of opposition that we are met with.
Aaron Katursky joins us now. Aaron, I've already heard from some residents there, and they want to know when they can expect power to be restored.
The damage is so extensive, Lindsay. From the gunfire to the substations, it could be Thursday before the power comes back on. So the Moore County officials have declared a state of emergency. They've also imposed a curfew until 5 in the morning because they don't want anyone on the street. And Lindsay, it's going down to 30 degrees there tonight, a cold night ahead.
And those with well service without water, Aaron, our thanks to you. Millions are now bracing for a new cross-country storm threat. Parts of the West are already getting a real taste of winter. These images are from Seattle. Some places have already seen more than a foot of snow. That system is now heading east. So let's get straight to ABC's senior meteorologist, Rob Marciano. Rob, tell us what we can expect.
Well, Lindsay, this is another strong system, but different from the others. It's going to kind of stall, maybe break apart a little bit, and then send bits and pieces across the eastern two-thirds of the country, and that's going to lead to some problems. Here it is on the maps, the low pressure moving into Northern California, the heavy rain and mountain snow you mentioned. We've got avalanche warnings and watches in parts of Colorado, but then you see the rain already starting across the Mid-South and the Tennessee Valley. That stalled frontal boundary will be the lifting mechanism that creates this rainfall throughout the week, and we could see 2, 3, maybe 5 or 6 inches of rainfall across an area that's really seen some rain already. So saturated ground, I think we're going to see some flooding there. And this rain does get all the way up into the northeast. Temperatures will be on the mild side, but as you know, Lindsay, that only adds to the rainfall potential. Lindsay?
Of course, Rob, our thanks to you. We turn now to Georgia, where the high-stakes Senate runoff is going down to the wire. Both candidates, incumbent Democrat Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker, are locked in a tight race before the vote this Tuesday, and they're now making their final pitch to voters. ABC's Elwin Lopez is in Atlanta tonight.
Tonight, the countdown begins in Georgia. The last undecided Senate race for the year finally nearing a close.
Wonderful Saturday night.
And I love America.
I need you to show up in this election. Are you ready to win this election?
If you hadn't voted, get out to vote.
The matchup between incumbent Democrat Raphael Warnock and his Republican challenger Herschel Walker broke turnout records despite the state's new election law reducing the number of early voting days. The runoff drew long lines across the state, with more than 1.8 million Georgians already casting their ballots. These high school students voting for the first time.
I'm just ready to get to the ballot so I can click that button.
And the stakes are still high. Democrats gained control of the Senate, but hope to widen their margins. A win for Republicans would slow down President Biden's agenda and give the GOP a leg up in 2024. Today, both candidates making their final push.
We just got to get out and vote. It's time to have our voices heard and our vote counted.
But listen, your vote is your voice.
Record voting so far in the early voting. Elwin Lopez joins us now. Elwin, with just 2 days ago, it really looks like this is anyone's race.
That's right, Lindsay. It's a tight race, and it's not quite over yet. A month ago on Election Day, Republicans came out in larger numbers than Democrats, and officials here say they expect a big turnout come Tuesday. Lindsay?
Elwin, our thanks to you. There are new details tonight in the murder of a 7-year-old little girl in Texas. A contract FedEx driver has been charged in the abduction and killing of Athena Strand. She was reported missing on Wednesday. Volunteers and law enforcement conducted a massive search before they ultimately found her body. A tip led authorities to the suspect, though a motive remains unclear. ABC's Will Carr has the details.
Tonight, a Texas community coming to grips with every parent's nightmare after a contract FedEx driver allegedly kidnapped and murdered 7-year-old Athena Strand. Athena reported missing from her father's home in the small town of Paradise, about 40 miles northwest of Fort Worth, Wednesday evening. Hundreds of volunteers combing the area until one alert neighbor said they spotted a FedEx truck at the time Athena was last seen. Police then teaming up with FedEx, ultimately arresting that contract driver, 31-year-old Tanner Lynn Horner, charging him with capital murder and aggravated kidnapping. In a statement, FedEx saying contracted employees are subject to criminal history background checks. And tonight, police saying Horner has no prior criminal record.
We do have a confession. We really can't get into the content of the confession, but I will say that we have a confession.
According to authorities, Athena's body was found Friday, roughly 10 miles from her home. On Facebook, her mom writing this morning, "We feel like we failed you. No one deserves what happened to you, but especially you. I love you. Mommy is broken without you."
Tonight, authorities say that the suspect picked up Athena near her home but didn't know the little girl or her family. And now the big question is why, as investigators are continuing to look into the motive. Lindsay.
Just an awful story there, Will. Thank you. Next tonight, some health experts are sounding the alarm as a triple virus spread is pushing some hospitals to the brink. Hospitalizations for the flu have been at their highest levels in more than a decade. 44 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico are all reporting high or very high flu-like activity. And there are now renewed concerns about COVID and the elderly. Here's ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Tonight, hospitalizations for the flu are at their highest level in more than a decade, with more holiday gatherings right around the corner.
Our whole family was down, like everybody in the house.
Across the country, more than 19,000 newly admitted patients, almost double the number compared to the week prior. 44 states, as well as New York City, D.C., and Puerto Rico, all reporting high or very high levels of influenza-like activity.
We have to be cautious about the upcoming holiday period because we know that more people are going to go indoors and transmission is likely. The good news, if you get your flu vaccine now, you can have that protection before the New Year, Christmas, holiday period.
Additional concern this flu season, RSV, that respiratory illness still hitting children hard, filling up pediatric hospital beds.
The fact that it's in tandem with an increase in flu and we still have COVID means that a lot of our hospitals are getting overwhelmed.
And though COVID infections in the U.S. are roughly level, hospitalizations for those 70 and older are now going up.
Have to keep a close eye on the elderly. Phil joins us now. Phil, for those who are worried about holiday surges, a reminder again that it's not too late for those who are vaccinated to still get their booster.
No, you're absolutely right, Lindsay. It is not. In fact, health officials are urging everyone who is eligible to go out and get that booster. And while they're at it, get a flu shot as well. They say it takes about 2 weeks for both of those shots to really start to protect you. And as you heard, we are just about 2-3 weeks away from that big holiday period. Lindsay?
Phil, thanks so much. We turn overseas now. Iranian state media are denying reports that officials are shutting down the regime's so-called morality police. More than 400 people have died in protests across the country following the death of a 22-year-old woman who was in their custody. Here's ABC's Lama Hassan from London.
Tonight, after months of deadly demonstrations engulfing Iran, a potential concession for the protesters. Iran's attorney general says authorities have disbanded the country's once feared morality police, but later the regime backtracking, disputing this on Iranian state media.
If even it happens, it's a band-aid and it will not stop the bleeding. The world stage should take this headline with a grain of salt. It's too little, too late.
The force is tasked with enforcing the Islamic dress code, including the law that requires women to wear a hijab and cover their hair. Parliament and the judiciary are also reviewing those laws, but wearing the hijab is still mandatory. That law has not been abolished. It was the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini that ignited the protests. Amini was arrested by the morality police for not wearing her headscarf correctly, later dying in custody. Women outraged, defiantly out on the streets, leading the movement, ripping off their hijab and cutting their hair. And despite the regime's brutal crackdown, according to Iran Human Rights Group, killing more than 448 people, the women were galvanized. The demonstrations intensifying, showing no signs of slowing down.
These laws have turned women into second-class citizens in their own country, and that's what they're fighting.
Lindsay, the protesters say this latest move to disband the morality police is not enough. They say they want all their freedoms back and they will keep fighting for a regime change. Lindsay.
Lama, thank you. Tonight, OPEC Plus, the group of big oil-producing countries, which includes Saudi Arabia and Russia, says it will maintain its current production targets. The move comes as U.S. gas prices continue to fall in 2 days after G7 nations agreed to a $60 a barrel price cap on Russian oil. That move is designed to deprive Vladimir Putin of oil revenue that he's using to fund the war in Ukraine while keeping Russian oil flowing. Putin vows he will not comply, raising questions about whether the cap can be enforced. Here at home, the Idaho college roommates who survived the brutal attacks are paying tribute to their lost friends. One of them says that she wished she could give all four of her friends that were killed just one last hug. And tonight, the parents of one of the victims, they are expressing their frustration. Here's ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi.
Tonight, two survivors of the horrific murders of four Idaho college students are speaking out as the investigation enters its fourth week. One roommate who was sleeping in the same house when the murders took place, saying she wishes she could give all four of her friends one last hug, adding they would want us to celebrate their lives. As police hunt for the killer, the parents of victim Kaylee Gonzalez voicing their frustration, telling Fox News they fear the case may turn cold.
Every day you just wake up and think today's the day. We're going to hear something.
They say autopsy reports show that Kaylee and her best friend Maddie Mogan had different means of death, which could mean that one was a target.
I need somebody to step up and be
an outfit, be somebody to be a leader. Don't make me do it. I paid for that funeral. I paid for that. It's my right. You ain't taking that from me.
Calm down.
The Gonzalez family says they are now looking into reaching out to a third party to help them get closure.
Lindsay, the Gonzalez family says they're looking to raise money to hire a private investigator and offer reward money for any information that can lead to an arrest. Lindsay?
Mona, thank you. The Supreme Court hears arguments tomorrow in what could be a landmark case pitting the First Amendment against laws protecting LGBTQ equality. Before the court, whether a Colorado website designer who objects to gay marriage on religious grounds can refuse to serve a same-sex couple. In 2018, the high court sided with a Colorado baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple on narrow grounds. The new case is a major challenge to state anti-discrimination laws. Tonight, China is moving to ease its zero COVID policy amid protests across the country. Authorities also issued an apology for this video posted online, which shows a scuffle between citizens and Chinese officials. The turmoil and recent protests in China are reportedly accelerating Apple's plans to move some of its production out of China to other countries in Asia. And there's so much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. Prayers for Pele as the soccer legend's health battle enters a new phase. And thousands flee a giant wall of ash from an erupting volcano.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, Indonesian authorities have issued their highest alert after a massive volcanic eruption. Dramatic images show thousands evacuating after a wall of thick ash blanketed their town. Mount Semeru erupted when monsoon rains collapsed its lava dome. That sent ash nearly 5,000 feet into the air. On Hawaii's Big Island, lava from the Mauna Loa volcano is now just 2.5 miles from a key highway that connects the east and west of the island. U.S. government scientists say it's too soon to tell when or if it will reach that road. Tonight, get well messages from around the world are being sent to soccer legend Pele. Supporters are holding vigil outside the hospital in Brazil where he's battling colon cancer. One newspaper reports he's now in palliative care. The hospital says Pele, who's 82, is responding well to treatment for a respiratory infection. In a statement, the soccer star said he's strong with a lot of hope. Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson returned today after serving an 11-game suspension for sexual misconduct. He was greeted with a chorus of boos as he took to the field, but he led the Browns to a 27-14 win over his old team, the Houston Texans. Before his suspension, Watson faced 24 lawsuits from women who accused him of sexual harassment or assault during massages. He settled 23 of those suits. To the index now, and the return of a cherished tradition to Waukesha, Wisconsin. The Christmas parade was back today with heavy security along the route, and so were the dancing grannies bringing smiles after so many tears. Last year, a driver plowed into dozens of people, killing six, four of the members of that dance group. The driver is now serving life in prison. Tonight, there's a huge recall of laundry and cleaning products. The Laundress is recalling 8 million of its products, including laundry detergent and fabric shampoo, because they may contain dangerous bacteria. At least 11 consumers have reported infections. The products were produced between January of 2021 and September of this year. The Laundress is offering refunds. There's still a lot of bad blood among Taylor Swift fans who couldn't score concert tickets before the public sale was canceled. One group is suing Ticketmaster, alleging fraud and price fixing. Their suit claims the company was eager to allow scalpers into the presale so it could collect extra fees on resold tickets. Ticketmaster blames massive demand and bot attacks for overwhelming the system. Swift has apologized for all the confusion, calling the situation excruciating. Next, a brief glimpse into the future with the Air Force and Northrop Grumman unveiling the B-21 Raider, America's newest stealth bomber, the first to be built in three decades. It looks a lot like the Flying Wing B-2, but with major upgrades, making it the most advanced military aircraft ever. The first flight is scheduled for the middle of next year. The program is expected to cost $80 billion. Finally tonight, seems like we could all use a little holiday cheer, and America is more than ready. The kickoff to what's been dubbed the most wonderful time of the year. In San Francisco, it's the annual lighting of the Christmas tree that signals the start of the season.
This is my favorite because the people of the city are here.
The decking of the holiday windows are practically synonymous with the season at department stores all along New York's Fifth Avenue. In West Palm Beach, Florida, the lighting of the Sandy Tree is back, a 35-foot holiday tree made entirely of sand, 700 tons of it.
Magnificent.
Magical.
In Scottsdale, Arizona, every December, Rose Garden Lane becomes Christmas Street. Each house is adorned with decorations. And it's not just for the festive look, it's also for a good cause. Residents are encouraged to make donations to benefit their neighbors in need.
Last year, 18,000 plus in donations, over 6,000 pounds of food.
And at the Smithsonian's National Zoo in Washington, D.C., Zoo Lights has returned after a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic.
It's back and so are we.
A return to the tradition of the holidays, to the delight of so many communities across the country.
It's gorgeous.
I just love lights. I'm a five-year-old.
Nice to see that. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. David Muir, right back here tomorrow. Good night.